You are listening to the Anna Brandt podcast for the year 2021. Anna Brandt has been a professional photographer for over 20 years and has taught worldwide in over 32 countries. She took a break from podcasting this past year, but she is back now better than ever, ready to inspire and motivate you. My name is Ava Brandt, and I'm happy to welcome you to my mom's podcast channel. We hope you subscribe and stick around.
Hi everyone, Anna Brandt here, and today we're going to talk about making time. Oh, there's so many time wasters out there, and people ask me all the time, how do you find the time? You know, this podcast I had put on hold for a year, and so when I started it back up again, people were like, what? But you're so busy. How do you have time to do this? And honestly, I think it doesn't matter when I announce anything new, people say, do you have time? Almost every email I get, whether it's from a client or a student or a potential inquiry, they'll say, I know you're busy, but ... I think there's a quote out there or a book out there or something out there that says busy people get things done. Don't you find that if you're somebody that's busy, you get things done? Or you may be someone that's busy that's not getting anything done because you have too many time wasters in your life. You're just wasting time. And how do we make time for everything? And how do we get rid of the time wasters? That's what we're going to talk about today. So when people say to me, how do you have time? My response is usually, I make time. It's just that simple. I mean, let's face it, I'm not 18 anymore. I mean, when I was 18, I remember one of my favorite pastimes was just laying out in the sun. I remember that when I was going to college in New York, I was living in a female-only apartment building. And on the rooftop of the apartment, we had sun chairs for laying in the sun. And it was, you know, our own roof. And so, oh, on a Sunday afternoon, my favorite thing would be to go upstairs and sit and sunbathe on the rooftop in New York City. I could literally close my eyes and put myself right back there. Now, I wasn't 18. I think I was about 21 at the time. The sounds of being in New York, the sounds of being on top of this building, but yet the quietness of just sunbathing with just myself or another student or two was amazing. I could lay there for hours and not do anything else. It's truly one of my favorite times. When I was a teenager, my sister and I would grab our blankets and we'd go out to the lawn and we'd sunbathe for hours. Now, to an adult, that could be a time waster, because to an adult, it really is if we have a million things to do. But to a child or to someone in your 20s or when you don't have that much responsibility, it's called amazing. It's amazing to just be able to sit and do absolutely nothing. Can I do that now? Sometimes. There are some times I love to sunbathe. I love to go outside. You can ask my children. Sometimes if they don't know where I am, they'll go look outside and they'll be like, Mom, and I'll just be sitting outside, just by myself, just sitting there soaking up the sun. And I remember growing up, I'd come down early in the morning. Now, we had 5 kids growing up, and my mom would just be sitting at the kitchen table with her cup of coffee. And she looked like she had been there for hours. And sometimes she had. She'd said, oh, I'd been up all night. And I would look at her like, why were you up all night? You weren't sleeping? And I remember being so amazed how when I would come down in the morning dragging myself out of bed, there would be my mom just sitting there ready for the day. Now, we had 5 kids, all of us a year apart. I'm adopted and I have another brother who's adopted as well. Now, I only have 3 and I can't even imagine having 5 kids all year apart. I can't even imagine the crazy chaos that we had growing up. And so I can imagine that the only quiet time my mom had was when we were all asleep. Now, she went to bed early. She was like most moms in bed before we all were jumping out of our beds. And so I knew she wasn't staying up late to get things done. So when was she getting things done? Well, as I grew up, I realized it was in the wee hours of the morning. And I remember when she would say, oh, I never went to bed, or I went to bed and I just took a nap and got up. I would just look at her like, what? How could you miss valuable, amazing sleep? Or on a Saturday when I'd come down at noon and she felt like she had already accomplished an entire day's work, I would be like, what? But it's noon. We sleep in on Saturdays. Now, we usually had chores on Saturdays, but there were some days we were able to sleep in. And she would look peaceful and content because I knew she got things done. Now, at the time when I was little, I didn't understand it. As I grew up and I became a business owner and a mother myself, I realized how valuable those years and hours were. I knew that she was getting work done. My mom became an ordained minister when I was a teenager, and she has a master's in divinity and a master's in psychology. She's an amazing woman, and she is the reason, I think, of who I am today. She raised five children while showing up every Sunday at church to preach and to talk and to give her message out that she felt she needed to give. And when she wasn't doing that, she was counseling and providing therapy, and her phone was always ringing, and someone was always knocking at the door, and people always needed to talk to my mom. People would stop me on the street and say, "Oh, I need to talk to your mom. Your mom is helping me with this." And of course, as teenagers, we would all just roll our eyes, and people would say how much my mom had helped them. And I'm thinking, when did she do this? We have laundry and dinner, and she would cook a full meal, and she would do the dishes, and she would sew our Halloween costumes, and she would clean our beds, and she would wallpaper the wall. And when is she helping you? So I would just kind of roll my eyes like, "I don't know who you're talking about, but my mom is far too busy to be helping you. She already just had the Sunday morning worship. How does she have time to do anything else? And when is she even writing that Sunday worship? When did she even have time to buy Christmas presents or wrap them all individually by themes?" We had five children, so we would receive gifts. Everybody had our own theme wrapping paper. Mine was roses. And how did I know it was my Christmas gift? Because it was wrapped in roses. How she even had time to do that with five different kids is beyond me. But she made time. She realized she had five individual children, and she wanted us to feel happy and content that the gifts we were being given were identifiable by something. Mine was roses. I think my sister was teddy bears. I think one of my brothers was ducks, and I can't remember the others. For years, well into my adulthood, I would get packages in the mail, always wrapped in roses, always. Every lotion I was ever given, every soap I was ever given, always had roses. How did my mom have time to do this? When she was getting older and she was retiring, she had told me one day that she had found a new ministry, and it was going to be to send cards to those who were shut in who didn't receive cards in the mail. Whether it was a birthday card or a Christmas card, she loved the handwritten card. I think she's 85 now, and I want to say she was well into her 70s when she, a phone call, had told me how excited she was that she had found this new ministry. And I thought, "Oh my goodness, Mom, how do you have time? You're supposed to be retired, and you're supposed to be redecorating your house and enjoying your husband after all these years. And how do you have time?" And she had such joy in her face. And she told me later how she would receive phone calls from people well into entering almost their hundreds that they had received cards in the mail from my mom. And they didn't even know my mom, but she had found out that they needed a card. And so she would write them a card and mail it to them. How did she have time to do all of this? And so when I look at her as an example of all that she's done in her life, and she's teached and preached and counseled and hugged and helped and brought me into her family and helped people around the world. She tried to retire several times, and each time she would be called back to church, and she would say, "Anna, they need me. They need me to talk to them." And it was never from an ego perspective. It was just she felt that she was needed and she needed to fulfill that need. And it's not just showing up on a Sunday. It's writing the lesson. It's writing the sermon. But it's not just writing the sermon. To do that, you've got to have some quiet time, and you've got to have some time with your thoughts. And you have to allow whatever words are going to be coming to you to come out. And then you have to sit and write them down and type them up. And she would go in her office and be at the computer for hours. How did she have time to even proofread what she wrote? We needed breakfast in just a few more hours. All of our lunches were handmade. We didn't buy school lunches. How did she have time to even help us make our school lunches? Do you get what I'm saying? The point is that she made time for what she thought was important, and I feel I do the same. Now, I procrastinate just like everybody else. There's times where I just don't feel like doing things because I know it's going to take a lot of time, and it's going to take 4 or 5 or 6 hours, and I don't have that kind of time right now. I need to prepare dinner, and I need to go to the grocery store, and I need to finish the session, and I need to edit, and I need to get gas in my car. So how am I going to do everything? So then I have to sit down and say, well, maybe I just don't want to do anything and I'll go to bed early. And sometimes I do. But what I do is I make lists. I have notebooks and I make lists. And whenever I'm not sure I'm going to remember something, I'll email myself, I'll text myself, I'll create audio files. I probably email myself at least 2 or 3 times a day. I've tried all the task managers and you name the program, I've done it. But sometimes I just like having a notepad and pen and writing it all down. I'm also a big believer in time blocking, and I've talked about this before. Time blocking is where you focus time for a specific task. Now, when you're time blocking, you're not supposed to be doing anything else. So if I'm doing something, I'm not also on Facebook, also talking to someone else, also at a pedicure, I'm just doing that one particular task. So if I'm writing new content or new material or coming up with podcast topics or even writing down my schedule or my itinerary, I'll time block. That means I shut off social media, close my inbox, and just focus on that task. I have to do that when I'm booking a flight. Have you ever tried to book a flight and then multitask? You're going to make a mistake. I've done it, and I've booked the wrong flight on the wrong day. I've booked the wrong hotel for the wrong weekend. I've done it. And every time I do that, I tell myself, okay, nope, I'm going to shut everything off. No TV, no Netflix, no social media, no music. And I'm just going to sit down in the quiet at my computer, and I'm going to book my flight and book my hotel. Because if I don't do that, something's going to happen. And so we do, many of us do time block for things that we go, I need quiet, I need concentration. Whether you're writing a thesis or whether you have to study for an exam or whether you need to do your bills, you tell people around you, I need a moment and I need to focus on this. That's time blocking, right? But we don't do it often enough, and we really need to do it more because we're constantly trying to multitask. And you could Google multitask and you could read all the things that tell you we can't effectively multitask. And then other articles will tell you you can effectively multitask. And then other people will say, no, you can't because your brain is not focusing on one specific task efficiently. So you're doing a disservice. And so you say, yeah, but I'm a mom and I can breastfeed and make pasta and talk on the phone and do laundry. And you actually can do all of that and do all of that well. But there's many things that you don't want to do, so you procrastinate, myself included. Oh, I just don't feel like doing that. So you do everything else but. Like when you're super busy and you have so much to do, what do you start doing? Cleaning or organizing, right? I do that all the time. Like I'll come home and I have so much to do, so why don't I just clean and organize? Why do we do that? Because it's kind of gives us satisfaction, right? We can clean and organize, and I've rearranged my whole pantry, and it's so satisfying when you go to open up the pantry and it's all done. Oh, maybe I didn't edit those last 5 galleries, but look at those spices, right? Just kind of puts a smile to your face until the client sends you an email. It's like, just checking on my gallery, and you're standing there in the spice rack cabinet. And you're like, yeah, I'm on it. I'm on it right now. And then you say, oh my gosh, I have to put a podcast on to listen to it while I'm editing, and I have to put Netflix on to listen to it. Or sometimes you just shut everything off and you just go do it. My favorite place to call a gallery is at the airport. I love calling galleries at the airport on planes because I have nowhere else to go. And so I can just put on a movie on the plane, or I'm at my gate waiting for the plane, and there's not a whole lot to do. I don't have to do laundry. There's no kids tugging at me. I don't have to make pasta. I have 3 dogs that aren't looking to be fed. So I can go through a client gallery in 10 minutes. That same client gallery at home may take me 2 hours. So you're going to say, Anna, that's all fine and good, but I don't have time to get anything done. Look, the desire to get things done is real. It's got to be real, because if you get things done, then you can work on different things. But the anxiety from missing deadlines or disappointing people can be overwhelming. And so if you allow your procrastination to take over, or your lack of time management to take over, what's going to happen is you're going to end up disappointing a lot of people. And there's going to be people that may like you, but they may get frustrated. Like, oh, she just doesn't deliver when she says she's going to do. And she just, I like her, but you know, everything takes five times too long. And I'm sure my clients have said that about me. And sometimes I'm super on it and other times I'm not. Yesterday, I had a client call me and she's like, did you get my email from last week? And I was like, you know, I don't think I did. And she goes, you know what? You're always super fast to respond to my emails. So I thought I would call you because I thought, gosh, if she hasn't responded, maybe it went to Never Never Land. Maybe it went to junk. So I'm just going to reach out. And I'm glad she did because I never did receive her email. Now that could have went a totally different way. I could have another client that says, Anna, I'm calling you because I've emailed you five times and you've ignored every single email and I'm getting a little annoyed because you're not responding to me. And it could be true, it could not be true. Maybe all five emails went to junk. Or maybe I responded to her and my response went to junk. All of these scenarios I've had and all of them happen almost every single day. And so then you tell yourself, okay, well, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to every single day, whether at night or the morning of, I'm going to write down tasks. I'm going to take 5 minutes of quiet time and I'm going to make a list of tasks, whether you use a cute program to do it or whether you use a notebook to do it or whatever. I'm not here to promote a task management tool. I'm here to say that I do believe that busy people can get things done. I do believe that you need to time block and have quiet time. I do believe that you need to stop kidding yourself when you say you don't have time to get anything done because you do. You do. You do have time. We all have time. It's how we choose to spend our time, which is what matters, right? You have time. And I say it all the time. Oh, I just don't have time to get to that. And maybe I don't because I don't think it's a priority. And so therefore, I don't have time to get to it. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to do it. It means I'm going to get to it at a later time. I get emails round the clock every minute. I can't just sit and respond to every single email as it comes in or I won't get anything done. So I don't think you should sit in your inbox 24/7. And I don't think you should sit on your phone 24/7. And I don't think you should sit on social media 24/7. You can tell yourself, okay, I'm going to respond to email in the morning, at noon, and at night. And the rest of the time, I'm going to ignore it. And then I'm going to respond to phone calls certain hours in the morning and certain hours in the afternoon. And I'm going to edit sessions certain times of the day. Or if it's another business, I'm going to go through bills and balance the books at this time. And then I'm going to make sure that I have family time. And then you just kind of budget it out and block it out. And you can use pretty calendars and color code everything and get really organized. Or you can just make these little decisions, write it down and get things done. And once you do that, you start getting in the habit. And then you start realizing, I got this. I can do this. And then, of course, what's going to happen is you're going to give yourself more things to do, but that's fine. But it can be done. Busy people can get things done. You can make time. You need to get rid of some time wasters, some things that maybe you don't need to do. I love Reverend T.D. Jakes. And he says, if you're doing the job that somebody else can do, you're not living your life's purpose. Now, I'm probably paraphrasing. I don't think he said it exactly like that. Maybe he did. But I'll say that again. If you're doing the work that someone else can do, you're not fulfilling your life's purpose. Well, what does that mean? And does that mean that the job that someone else is doing is less than? No. What that means is, for example, for years, I had a laundry service when I was living in New York City. And I loved it because I could drop off the laundry. And when I'm done with the day's work, I could pick it up or they could deliver it. And everything was clean and folded and done. And I was working and going to school. So for me to try to sit in the laundromat when I'm in a New York City apartment for hours on end, trying to study and prepare for my work, it's like I don't have time to do that. So I could use a laundry service, pay a little bit more to do my laundry, and I could feel comfortable knowing I could do an extra train stop, pick up my laundry, go home, and it's all done. So that's a job that somebody else can do. Now, that doesn't devalue the job they have. That job is very valuable because they're saving other people time. Just the same with food delivery, people that make meals for other people. That's huge. We know how long it takes to cook a meal, clean up. You've got to buy the food. You've got to bring it in. The whole grocery shopping thing drives me crazy. You get the items off the shelf, put them in the cart, go up to pay, take them out of the cart, put them on the belt, pay for them, put them back in a bag, back in the cart, back in your car to go to your home, unload the car to put them away. It's absolutely maddening. I think Instacart is genius, but I can't do Instacart all the time. And sometimes I do like browsing the aisles, but sometimes when I'm in a hurry, Instacart is fantastic because just the act of grocery shopping drives me absolutely out of my mind. And so that here, I love companies would say, hey, we're going to save you time. We're going to deliver your meal. We're going to clean your laundry. We're going to go grocery shopping for you. And then you can be doing your life's purpose, which is something completely different. Maybe their life's purpose is delivering groceries, folding the laundry, and they're doing wonderful doing that. So why don't you do what you should be doing? There's nothing wrong with doing that. And I felt guilty so many times picking up laundry. And now I just don't anymore. Now I have somebody who helps me in the home. And, you know, I've gone back and forth from doing that. I've had people help me in the home and then I've gotten rid of them and then I've brought them back again. And my kids are teenagers now and they tell me, Mom, we don't need a nanny. Well, you don't have a nanny or we don't need anybody in the home. But then if I'm going to travel around the world and they want clean clothes and they want a fridge full of food and they want the dogs fed and walked, I'm only one person. So something's got to go. Something's got to go. So I find people that can help me and I find resources and bring the people in my life to help me be the best that I can be. Because being a mother doesn't mean I have to sit in the laundry room 8 hours a day. I'm pretty sure being a mother means I need to make sure that all those things are done and spend time with my children. So stop feeling guilty about outsourcing. Outsourcing is vital to growth. You need to outsource. You need to take things off of your plate that aren't serving your life's purpose so that you can focus on the things that you're supposed to be focusing on. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong about feeling guilty about it. I think we're in a society where, especially with women, we're supposed to just do everything. And I know I was raised with a mother who did do everything. But I didn't find out till later that she had a cleaning lady and she helped the cleaning lady. I just remember a woman coming to the house, but I didn't really remember who she was, but she was a cleaning lady and my mom would help her clean and they would clean together because my mom's like, I can't do a 7-bedroom house by myself. And so then, you know, relatives would come over. I remember my grandmother would come over and help sew patches in our clothing when we had holes in our jeans because my mom could not sit in a rocking chair and sew patches in our clothing all day. She had to write a sermon on Sunday and take care of 5 kids. And so, you know, my grandmother would help. So surrounding yourself, you know, you hear that saying it takes a village. It does take a village. But yet, why are we so insistent on doing everything ourselves? And then when we fail because we don't have enough time and then we have anxiety from not having enough time and disappointing people, do we beat ourselves up because we're not getting everything done because we're expected to do it all, man or woman? You guys, it's 2021 and we're heading into 2022. We don't need to do it all. We have amazing, wonderful, valuable resources that are out there. We have Amazon Prime, we have Instacart, we have UPS, we have the Postal Service, we have nannies, daycare, food. We have all of this. We have people that have farms that grow their own food and cows that make milk and chickens that lay eggs. Start thinking about what your life's purpose is and the things that you don't want to do, that you're procrastinating, that you really just don't have time for. Pass it off, outsource it, get yourself a virtual assistant, let someone else do your laundry. It's okay. It's okay. Because at the end of the day, you should be doing what you're supposed to be doing and focusing on your life's purpose. I'm Anna Brandt, and thanks for listening.
Did you like this podcast? We would love it if you gave my mom a kind review and reach out to her. To learn more about Anna, visit annabrandt.com. You can find out about her education opportunities at annabrandteducation.com.